The traditions of men are painful. Paul said, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things." And today, if ignorance were painful, there would be a lot of hurting people in the body of Christ, especially concerning forgiveness. I'd say that over 95% of all born-again believers do not understand how God's forgiveness operates under our new covenant of grace. And they don't even have the slightest notion that they don't know, because they have leaned into their own understanding and have trusted and heard for years and years the traditions of men, which even logically don't make sense. For example, people think that God forgives them day by day. You confess your sins, then He forgives them. You confess, then He forgives. You confess, then He forgives. But what if you, the born-again believer, died in the very act of committing a sin? Would you go to heaven or hell? I repeat, if you, the born-again believer, died in the very act of committing a sin, would you go to heaven or hell? Or what if you forgot to confess some sins and you died in your sleep? Do you go to heaven or hell? We all know that the standard is perfection. If we have so much as one particle of sin which is charged against us when we stand before God, we know that we are destined to be cast into the lake of fire. So, how about it? Does a believer go to hell if he dies with unconfessed sins, or he dies while committing a sin? I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? Over 95% of the people in the body of Christ are in error concerning how God's forgiveness operates under our new covenant of grace. They are believing that God forgives the born-again believer day by day, confession by confession. If they confess, then He forgives. And that's not how God operates under our new covenant of grace. For God will only forgive and has only forgiven the born-again believer one time. I'll repeat, God has forgiven the born-again believer only one time. He doesn't forgive them three or four or five or six like we do down here. No, God forgives one time. It's a one-time process, forever active. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, if we are born again believers, the Bible says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin and cannot commit sin because they are born of God." It's not a question of if they will sin or if they won't sin. The Bible says that whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin, for the seed remains in them, and they cannot sin because they are born of God. And the only part of a born-again believer that cannot commit sin because it was born of God is the Christ in us, our hope of glory, that new creation. Our souls, which were dead in trespasses and sins, they are the ones which have been washed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't commit sin. They are now preserved perfect in Christ unto the day of redemption. Our soul is hid with Christ in God. It's right there, preserved, blameless, unto the day of redemption. We are in Christ Jesus, and the Bible says that in Christ is no sin at all. When the born-again believer sins, it is no longer them that doeth it, but it is a sin that dwells in their flesh, according to Romans chapter 7. After the new birth, our old man, the flesh, he continues to serve the law of sin, according to Romans 7:25. Our flesh serves the law of sin. But the new man in us, the Christ in us, the hope of glory, he cannot commit sin because he is born of God and joined unto our soul. And the Bible says that whosoever is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. So when the born-again believer sins, it is no longer he that doeth it, but it's the sin that resides in his flesh. Also, when the born-again believer commits a righteous act, it is no longer he that can take credit for it, but it's the Christ that dwells in him. We must remember that the new covenant has a provision for us to be eternally forgiven for our sins. It's called the blessedness of David. It's described in Romans chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven." Notice, it didn't say, "Blessed is the man who can get forgiveness or get more forgiveness." No, we are only forgiven one time. It says, "Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not charge sin." And the only people upon this earth whose sins are forgiven and whose iniquities are covered and whom the Lord is not charging sin with are born-again believers. The Lord is not imputing or charging sin against born-again believers. Why? Why is the Lord not sitting in heaven with some big pen writing down your sins and charging them against you? Because our sins were judged at the cross. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. He paid the penalty for the sins we committed yesterday. He paid the penalty for our sins we're going to commit today. And He paid the penalty for our sins that we're going to commit tomorrow. Jesus paid it all. He paid for the penalty for our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came into the world to take away sins. It says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Well, when we were dead in the world, dead in trespasses and sins, and we accepted Christ as our Savior, He washed us with His eternal blood. He washed us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now our soul is redeemed. Redeemed by corruptible things? No. Redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Our soul has been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. And the book of Acts tells us and declares emphatically, Jesus Christ Himself says that which I have cleansed, call not common nor unclean. Once Jesus Christ cleansed your soul from sin, your soul was eternally cleansed from sin. Your soul cannot commit sin. The sin that a born-again believer commits is in his fleshly nature, which he is no longer joined unto. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, not because you don't do fleshly things. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of Christ, that new creation, was born into your hearts by faith. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 13, that sin is not imputed against you where there is no law. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. And therefore, the Lord is not charging the born-again believer sins against them, even though the born-again believer commits sin through his flesh. Why is it? Why is it that the Lord is not charging the born-again believer with sins? Because Romans 5:13 says that sin is not imputed where there is no law, and we are not under the law, but under grace. Therefore, sin cannot be charged against us. God is not marking the born-again believer's iniquities against them. Psalm chapter 130, verse 3 says, "If God should mark iniquities, then who could stand?" If God made you confess your sins daily and demanded that you would confess your sins to Him daily to get fresh forgiveness for the sins you commit every day, and you died with some unconfessed sin, then that particle of sin that you did not confess would keep you and bar you and ban you from the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, the Lord is not charging your sins against you. Not that you don't commit sins, because the Bible says that even after you're born again, the good that you want to do, you don't do, and the evil that you want to abstain from, you do. Because your flesh nature continues to serve the law of sin and wars against the Christ in you that was born into your hearts by faith. The Bible says, if God should mark iniquities, who could stand? Iniquities are only charged against you and marked against you if you are under the law. The law was made manifest to show you the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The law was made manifest to show you what sin was. The law defined sin. For sin was not even known until the law came. And when the law came, then sin was made manifest. When the law said, thou shalt not kill, you didn't know what it meant until you broke the law. And when you broke the law came and said, you are a breaker of the law. And when you broke the law at one point, you were guilty of all. And if God charged just one sin against you, then the Bible looks upon you just as if you were guilty, as if you had committed every last one of them. You're just not guilty of one sin. You're guilty of every sin that's ever was conceived. Because if you broke the law at one point, you are a sinner in all. You are a violator of it all. And therefore, you just couldn't confess that one sin. No, 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 buddy. You have to confess every last one of them. The sins you actually committed and the sins you didn't actually commit. For you would be guilty of all if God was charging your sin and marking them against you. Therefore, the scripture says, if God should mark iniquities, then who could stand? Therefore, God only forgives the believer one time. And our forgiveness has already taken place at our salvation. When we confess that we were sinful, then He was faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. The unrighteousness we will commit tomorrow, the unrighteousness we commit today, and the righteousness we committed yesterday. He has cleansed us from how much unrighteousness? He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And 1 John 5:17 states that all unrighteousness is sin. Therefore, He has cleansed us from all sin. And He has stated, that which I have cleansed, call not common nor unclean. clean. We have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and we have been redeemed. Now, most Christians do not even understand the term in our new covenant contract called redemption. It's defined in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and you need to know this. It says, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Now, we can get redemption, but in Jesus Christ, we have redemption, which is forgiveness of sins through His blood, unquote. Ephesians 1:17 says, in Christ we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins through His blood. We have this. We have the forgiveness of sins through His blood. And if you compare Scripture with Scripture, turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, and you can find out that we have something better than redemption. For it says in Hebrews 9:12 that Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. Not for Himself, but Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, it doesn't take much logic to do this. If redemption means forgiveness of sins through His blood, then what's the definition of eternal redemption? Eternal redemption would mean that we have eternal forgiveness of sins through His blood, for He obtained eternal redemption for us. And since redemption is defined in Ephesians 1:17 as the forgiveness of sins through His blood, then eternal redemption means that we have the eternal forgiveness of sins through His blood. You see, God is not forgiving believers' sins day by day, for He has granted unto us eternal redemption, which is the eternal forgiveness of sins through the blood of His Son. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Jesus Christ's blood was shed only once, and that's when He gave His life upon the cross. That was the only sin offering that we have to present before God to get our sins forgiven. We don't have two or three or four sacrifices to present before God. We only have one, and that's the sin offering of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was made sin, that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. When we take and believe in His death, burial, and resurrection and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins for Christ's sake, not because I'm so good, not because I confess, but for Christ's sake, then the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. And one application of the blood of Jesus is enough to eternally cleanse our soul from sin, as it is written, that which I have cleansed, call not common nor unclean. And we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, which is a one-time process, which is forever active. For now we are in Christ Jesus, and in Christ is no sin at all, and our soul is preserved blameless in Christ. For in Christ is a sinless environment. Now our flesh, which serves the law of sin, is not in Christ, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, when we commit sin, it is no longer us that doeth it, but it is a sin that resides in our flesh. And if you had to get forgiveness for your sins day by day by day by day, then the Bible says that Jesus Christ would have had to die upon a daily basis to give you fresh blood for the fresh sins that you committed. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ was offered up only once. Therefore, the Bible says that if you had to get fresh forgiveness for the sins that you commit on a daily basis, then God would have had to offer up Jesus often from before the foundation of the earth, according to Hebrews 9:26. Christ would have had to suffer for sin over and over and over again, often from before the foundations of the world. But that's not true. Jesus Christ only suffered once and for all to do what with sin? To put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. This is couched in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and 10. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, and we are born after His death. Therefore, His blood is able to forgive sins in the future. For all of our sins were heaped upon Him 2,000 years ago. And we have been purged from our past sins. Why did it say purge from our future sins? Because all of our sins were past. They have been heaped upon Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and no new sins are being charged against us, for sin is not charged against you where there is no law, and we are not under the law, but under grace. Therefore, when a born-again believer sins, what should he do? He should repent. Repent does not mean to confess. Repent means to turn away from the sin. The Bible says that after we receive salvation by 1 John 1:9, confessing our sinfulness and God being faithful and just to forgive us our sins and take away our sins, then it says, if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. It didn't say confess. It says, then if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation or payment for our sins. Our sins have been eternally dealt with on the cross of Jesus Christ. He died suffering the penalty for our sins and gave you eternal redemption, which means eternal forgiveness of sins through his blood. So stop pulling your sins out from under the blood of Jesus and rehearsing them in the ears of God. I'm James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?